as I was reflecting on the scriptures for this Sunday's gospel, I was filled with joy to see that Ezra read and preached to the people from sunrise till midday. A good 7 or 8 hours of preaching, the people listened to attentively. So we got a late start. We didn't start at sunrise, but let's see where we can go. But then I saw the gospel, and Jesus had a one-sentence homily. So maybe we'll meet in the middle. But just a little background on this first reading. So we know there were 12 tribes of the Old Testament. King David united into one kingdom. Solomon was his son. After Solomon died, the kingdom split north and south. In the 700s BC, the northern kingdom went into exile because of infidelity and idolatry. That's when Isaiah was writing, around that time when the northern kingdom was in exile. The first part of Isaiah, he's lamenting the fact that they've lost the promised land, but the second half is a prophecy of restoration. And then in the 500s, the southern kingdom went into exile because of infidelity and idolatry. And after about 70 years, a new king came in and allowed the Jewish people to go back to their homeland, to go back to their promised land. And they found the temple destroyed. Everything that they had held, that they were holding on to as dear, were destroyed. And this is where we pick up in the story from Nehemiah today. The beginning of the restoration. The identity of the chosen people was centered in the temple, was centered in the law. Those first 5 books of the Old Testament that Moses had delivered to the people straight from the mouth of God. And this is what gave them their identity, who they were. If we remember, it was because they had received this law that God had let them know that the world, their other peoples, would see them as a chosen people because they knew their God. They knew His thoughts, His feelings, His desires. The law that God had given them revealed the heart of the Creator God to them. That was their identity. But because of the exile, they lost it. They were wandering. They were lost. And so now here they are again trying to rebuild. And so as Ezra is on a wooden platform higher than the rest, unrolls the scroll and shows it to the people were filled with awe. They began to raise their hands in praise. Alleluia. Amen. And then once they were overcome with the immensity of God's word, they fell on their face in worship. We too are the chosen people. We too are always at a risk of losing our identity. Look at the news events the last few days. Who are we? Are we certain of this? And do we come to this liturgical assembly to have the Word of God unveiled, unrolled for us? And are we filled with awe and reverence? And do we glory in the fact that God has revealed Himself to us? Do we allow this to give us a certainty of our identity? This is what's happening in that first reading. The people were moved to tears. Probably some for repentance. Once they realized the fullness of God's law, they were able to understand that they had not been living in conformity to it. What's our response when we encounter the truth? What is our response, our posture to the law of God? Can we honestly sing the responsorial psalm? Psalm 19, the second part of it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It refreshes the soul. It's trustworthy. It gives wisdom to the simple. The precepts are right. They're clear. They're pure. They're true. They're all just." Do we have this enthusiasm, this joy, this clarity of our thought towards the law of God? Because we live in this modern society where most of our lives are legislated by some bureaucrats or some congressmen, our idea sometimes of law can be distorted. That there are simply these ordinances which seek to control behavior and then punish misbehavior. And that's certainly an aspect of law. Even God's law has some of that. But it's so much more. The law, the better interpretation would be the teaching, the revelation, the unveiling of the heart to His children. This is what the law of God is. And this is the law that struck the Israelites to the heart, that had them praising and then on their faces in awe. It wasn't just a bunch of, it wasn't a moral code that helped them to be good people. It was the key to life. And that's what we sang. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. So we can say the opposite. Without the word, without the law, without the teaching, we have no spirit and we have no life. That might be a good description of the world we encounter every day. No life. But the chosen people were given the command to be a light to the world. This is our charge as well. This is our duty. The reason we have all of this is so that as our lives are transformed, our hearts are conformed to the heart of Christ, we become a light to the nation. The chosen people had lost their identity. And as we hear in the gospel, that Christ, moved by the Spirit, 2 weeks ago we had the baptism of the Lord, where the voice of the Father came down upon Jesus the Son and said, "This is my beloved Son." And then he was compelled by that Spirit out into the desert to battle the evil one. And now that Spirit moves him back to begin teaching, proclaiming, performing miracles. Christ was certain of his identity. Christ was certain of his mission. And so when he unrolled that scroll from Isaiah, from when they were in exile, but when they were prophesied that one day the Messiah would come, the anointed one, the chosen one will set you free. Jesus found that portion and said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And for those of us who are baptized and live in that day of Christ, every day, today, these words are fulfilled in our hearing. Every day is a day that we're set free. Every day is a day that our eyes are opened, that the captives are set free, that the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Today is that day. Do we believe in that freedom of the Spirit? Or are we so burdened down because of the nonsense in the news that we allow the Spirit to dampen? Allow Christ to speak to your heart that today He has come to set you free. That today you are no longer held down by the chains of sin, of regrets, of past mistakes. That through your baptism, He has set you free. That you no longer are held bound to the things of this world. That you can go out in the freedom of the Spirit. You can live a life of joy. As Ezra said in the first reading, do not be sad. Let the strength of the Lord rejoice. This is the promise that we have. And this is the reality the world's waiting for. For the children of God to wake up in the freedom of the Spirit, to go out and proclaim the truth, to not be held bound in fear. When the world is crazy, when Catholic leaders and Catholic politicians are making some diabolical mistakes, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be in fear. We don't need to be saddened. We need to allow the Spirit to raise our spirits, to set us free. And this is a truth that we can be certain of. And that's what St. Luke said at the beginning of the gospel. He did the research. We've heard all these stories. These traditions have been handed on to us, And I'm writing this to you, dear lover of God, so you can be certain of this. When news changes rapidly, consistently, sometimes we're left wondering what is true. We can turn to the scriptures and be certain of the revelation contained therein. Ezra, Nehemiah were proclaiming this truth in a liturgical assembly. Jesus was in a synagogue, as was his custom, proclaiming the truth. When the world is crazy, when the world is loud, this is where we come to regain our strength. This is where we come to regain our identity as chosen people, as saved people, people set free, no longer walking in darkness, but enlivened by the Holy Spirit, we live in the light. Yes, Lord, your words are spirit and life. Yes, Lord, you have come to set me free. The Lord has come to set each one of you free. Will you let him?